Today we are in Luke's Gospel in chapter 13, starting at verse 10. As we prepare to hear this story that Luke remembers, let us ask for help. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, that we may hear again your ancient words spoke fresh and flesh among us, that we may be moved to take action, that we may be your faithful people, obeying your word and showing your love to our life's end. Amen. Luke remembers this story. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then, there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing. For the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, for the Word of God in Scripture, thanks be to God. Luke's story is a story today about Sabbath and the rules of Sabbath versus compassion. If you have taken my confirmation class, you will remember which number the commandment is to rest on the Sabbath. Does anybody remember, any of my confirmation students here? Which commandment is it? Which one is the Sabbath day? The fourth. That's right. The fourth commandment. How do you know? Because your thumb is resting. Thumb is resting. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The fourth commandment goes on in Exodus 20 to explain that nobody's supposed to do any work. I mean, really, nobody. It gets real detailed about who's not supposed to work on Sabbath. Now, when I lived in Myrtle Beach, I had the privilege of living across the street from some Hasidic Jewish family. And let me tell you, they were serious about their Sabbath keeping. It was one amazing witness to see them walk to worship on Sabbath. Drive their car 6 days of the week, but not on Sabbath. It remained parked. Their strict adherence to the rules even included cooking and doing laundry. Anything that would be considered work, so much so that one day they came and knocked on my door and asked for my help. And I was glad to, you know, whatever you need, I'll be glad to help you. They invited me across the street into their home. They needed me to turn on the stove. It was a brand new stove, and the lady hadn't read the directions yet. Apparently there was a Sabbath setting. Did you know your stove might have a Sabbath setting? There was a Sabbath setting, but she hadn't studied the directions yet to learn how to use it. So she needed me to turn on the stove. That would have been work. And the other thing, she had one of those new dryers that has the wrinkle release cycle, and the thing kept turning every 15 minutes and beeping and driving her nuts. She said, "Can you please just stop that thing?" Apparently, pushing the stop button would be work. It was interesting living across the street from them, an amazing witness to their devout relationship with God. We saw it publicly in how they kept Sabbath. And apparently, in today's story, in Luke's gospel, apparently one of the things that is against the law, against the rules of working on Sabbath, is healing. The Jewish leader, the synagogue leader, gets all upset with Jesus because he healed somebody. Indeed, his upset is not so much with Jesus, but with the crowd, because he turns to the crowd and says, "There are 6 days. 6 days to work. If you need to be healed, come on one of those days. Don't come for healing on Sabbath." Was Jesus breaking the commandments, God's commandment about Sabbath rest? Or is it that God's compassion overrides strict adherence to the letter of the law? I mean, not being healed on Sabbath would be like me saying to you, "If you're in pain, there are 6 days you can come talk to me in my office, but don't come when you're in pain to church." That just doesn't make sense. The very place you need to be when you're in pain, when you're hurting, when you need to cry out to God is in church. This is the place where the people of God gather, not just in the good times of life, but in the difficult times of life, in the times when they need healing, in the times when they need an embrace, in the times when they need to cry out to God and say, "How long?" Church, Sabbath, is designed for just that reason. Jesus points out just how ludicrous this is. He says, "Don't you even on the Sabbath untie your animals and lead them to have a drink of water?" If you can have compassion for an animal, why not a daughter of Abraham, he says. God's compassion overrides a strict adherence to the letter of the law. I remember when someone first pointed out to me what compassion means. If you break that word into its two roots, com means with, passion is the word for suffering. So quite literally, compassion means to suffer with. Or in other words, to stand with someone in times of suffering, to enter into their pain and therefore seek to understand what they're going through. In our story from today, Jesus embodies God's compassion. And Jesus turns to the synagogue leader and indeed to the entire congregation and challenges us, pushes us beyond law keeping into compassion. I'm reminded of the prayer that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. It goes like this: "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. You see, the life of God's compassion is that trying to understand the other, trying to console the other, trying to love the other, trying to give of ourselves to the other. That becomes our focus and not our own concerns. There's an old tale about a woman whose only son died. In her grief, she went to the holy man in the city and asked, "What prayers, what magical incantations, what could you possibly do to bring my son back to life?" Instead of sending her away, instead of trying to reason with her, the holy man said to her, "Go. Fetch me a mustard seed from a home that has never known sorrow, and we will use it to drive the sorrow out of your life." So the woman, given this quest, went off at once, searching for that magical mustard seed, a mustard seed from a home that had never known sorrow. At first she came to a splendid mansion of gold and marble. And she knocked at the door and she said, "I am looking for a home that has never known sorrow. Is this such a place? It's so very important to me. Tell me, is this such a place?" And they said to her, "You have come certainly to the wrong place." And they began to describe all the tragic things that had befallen them as a family. And she said to herself, "Who is better able to help these poor, unfortunate people than I who have had my own pain?" And so she stayed to comfort them, and she went in search of another home that had never known sorrow. But at every turn in hostels and every place she went, she heard tale after tale of sadness, sorrow and misfortune. And each time she was moved to comfort them. Indeed, the woman became so involved in her compassion for others in their times of sorrow that she eventually let go of her own grief. She would later come to understand that it was in compassion, in suffering with others, that she found peace, even in her own suffering. In Jesus Christ, we see God's compassion for the world. In Jesus Christ, you see, God joins in our suffering. God feels our pains. God takes our pains on as His own. And God is moved to take action to comfort us. No, it's not that we won't suffer anymore. That's not it. But it's rather that in the midst of our suffering, we will know the compassion of God, the very depth of God's love for us. And we turn from being self-centered to being others-centered, extending the same compassion that God has shown us to others. Standing with them in their pain, feeling their pain on our own shoulders, crying as they cry, and in so doing, being the very comfort of God. And you see, church, now it's on us. We are the followers of Jesus Christ. We are the ones through which God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, shows comfort and compassion to the world. That is our witness. Will we join Jesus in caring for the bent and broken? Will we join Jesus in caring for the hurting and sorrowful? Will we join Jesus in caring for the guilty and the forgiven, the deserving and undeserving? Will we be Christ's compassion for the world? Luke says that there is no limit. There is no time limit on God's compassion. Whatever it is, whatever pain is being experienced, now is the time when Christ reaches out. Speak a word of comfort. Touch us in our brokenness and invites us to stand tall. Will we be Christ's compassion for the world? Teresa of Avila, a faithful woman of the 1500s, said it this way: Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which He looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which He blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are His body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which He looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Will you be God's compassion for the world? To the glory of God. Amen.